Chapter 21, Trapped. "Come on," Cyril urged. Once again, the coyote hurled his weight into the stone. The Crocs had blocked the entrance to their new prison with a heavy boulder, completely sealing the prisoners in. The coyote could not get the stone to budge. "Oh, goodness," Tobin said. He and Cora rested against the far wall. "Be careful." Cyril shook out his shoulder. "Just a few more tries," he insisted. "I'll get us out." Dawn shook her head. "You haven't changed a bit." At this, Cyril turned. "What's that?" "Brute force won't fix everything," Dawn continued. "You're acting the way you did as a pup, always chewing through coconuts when you could just drop them on rocks." Cyril grinned. "I still do that, you know." Despite her best efforts, Dawn could not keep from smiling. Cyril drew close to the fox. "I still think about you," he admitted. A softness fell on Dawn's face and she let her eyes lock on Ciro's. Then she lowered her gaze. "But I'm still a Vulpes and you're still a Canis," she sighed. "I will never be part of your pack." Ciro opened his mouth to respond, but a loud, sing-songy voice rang out first. "Me, me, me, me!" Tobin and Cora scuttled over and pressed their ear against the stone. "What is that?" Cora asked. "La, la, la, la!" The voice sang out again. "So strange," Cyril muttered. "Yet so familiar," said Dawn. The fox moved toward the boulder. Then she crouched to inspect a crack where it met the wall. A soft glow shone from the other side. Tilting her head, she peered through. "Bismarck!" she called. The singing came to a halt. "Dawn," said the voice, "is that you? Or are the walls so moved by the sound of my singing that they call my name?" The fox rolled her eyes. "Yes," she replied, "it's me. We're behind the boulder." There was a scurrying of steps as the sugar glider rushed toward his love. "My sweet!" he exclaimed. Desperately, he flung himself at the stone and wormed his head through the crack. It was a little too narrow for him to squeeze all the way through. "I knew we'd meet again, mon chéri. True love always prevails." "Bismarck," whispered Dawn, "listen carefully. Ciro's two friends, Ajax and Julian, are standing guard nearby. You need to find them and bring them here." The fox moved in closer. "Do you understand?" "Yes, whatever you ask, I will bring you the moon, the stars, the heavens themselves." He closed his eyes. Visions of Dawn danced in his head, his face awash with sea sparkle light. "With the coyote's help," she continued, "we can move this boulder." Bismarck's eyes burst open. "Coyotes? Excuse me? Pardon?" "The coyotes are not to be feared," Dawn said. "It's true," said Tobin. "They've been friendly and loyal." Ciro smiled and placed his paw over Dawn's. "We work well together," he said. Bismarck glared at the two touching paws. His bald patch turned a deep red. "No, absolutamente no," he cried out. "This is an outrage. I will not cooperate with these canines." "You better keep your voice down," cautioned Ciro. "Hush, mush," said the sugar glider. "Do you know who you are talking to?" Ciro scratched his head in confusion. "Your name is Bismarck, right?" "I may be small in stature, but I am important. I am the announcer, the songster, the maestro. I am an esteemed member of the Nocturnal Brigade. I am..." "Boom! Boom! Busted!" Bismarck froze. "What do we have here?" The sugar glider popped his head out of the crack in the rock. Then slowly he spun around to face the fiery-eyed Boris. "Welcoming the captives, I see," said the croc. "No, no, no. In fact, I was just telling them how repulsivo they are." Bismarck forced a charming little grin. But the giant reptile was not fooled. "Crocs!" At once Miss B, Hay, V, and Orr came thumping to their leader's side. "Yes, boss," said V. "What's the trouble?" asked V. Boris crossed his arms and glared at the sugar glider. "The maestro is the trouble. Lock this traitor squirrel up here with the others." The crocodile's long mouth curved ever so slightly into a smile. "I'd like a moment to consider my options."